The views and opinions expressed by the hosts on MadisonTalks.com are those of the host. That's why we do it. Give us a call, 608-210-1667. Thanks for listening.
Eldon Davis is a lifelong Christian minister who has preached the gospel all over the world and was an inspiration for those who created the famous Rawhide Boys Ranch in Wisconsin. Now Eldon Davis with his special podcast on the roots of American exceptionalism.
Hello, this is Eldon Davis. Thank you for listening, and I trust you're going to get a great, great blessing today. In fact, if I could be so bold, I'll say you will be. So stay with it for the hour. Sit back, relax, open up your heart. And God will speak to you in a wonderful way and enable you to understand so much about life, about you, and the world that you now live in. We have our third podcast, and the first one was entitled The Root of American Exceptionalism. The second broadcast was about you and American exceptionalism. And we want to, on the third broadcast, build on you and American exceptionalism, what it means to you, how it can bless you, how it can guide you and provide for you a life abundant here, now, and forever. Let me begin by a humorous story about a man in a hot air balloon. A man in a hot air balloon realized that he was lost. He reduced his altitude and spotted a woman on the ground. He descended a bit more, then shouted, "Excuse me, lady, can you help me? I promised a friend I would meet him in an hour ago, and I'm lost. I don't know where I am, and I don't know where I could go." The woman replied, "You are in a hot air balloon. You're approximately 30 feet above the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude, and between 59 and 60 degrees west longitude." "Well, you must be an engineer," said the balloonist. "Well, I am," replied the woman. "How did you know?" "Well," answered the balloonist, "everything you told me is technically correct, but I have no idea what to make of all the information that you gave me. The fact is, I'm still lost. Frankly, you've been no help at all. If anything, you've delayed my trip even more." The woman looked up and said, "Well, you must be a politician." "Well, yes, I am," he replied. "How did you know?" "Well," said the woman, "you don't know where you are or where you're going. You have risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You made a promise, which you have no idea how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problem for you. The fact is, you are exactly in the same position where you were before we met, but now, somehow, it's all my fault." Well, do you have people telling you who you are and what to do and where to go? Or maybe you are looking for direction. I hope you are. We all are looking for the right direction. And as you listen today and we share these thoughts back and forth, I believe that you're going to find release from all your trials and tribulations. Now, that's a big promise, but hey, hold on. Now, in our first broadcast, we talked about one word that made America exceptionalist. It's called Reformation. I'd like for you to visit that first broadcast, and if you have, do it again and pay close attention and then begin to learn about how America gained its freedom, its liberty, its individuality, the inalienable rights. We said that it happened 500 years ago this year. So 2017 is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. From that, as we said, you got your freedom, your liberty, and the motto that's in our country, "In God We Trust." We realize also, historically, that the Holy Bible has made this nation. Let me just give you some facts on it. We had mentioned that George Washington, upon taking the oath of office, laid his hand upon the Bible and swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. So help him God. He leaned over and he kissed the Bible. Well, every president since then has taken the oath of office by placing their left hand on the Bible and with the right hand upholding and swearing before God to uphold the Constitution. When Harry S. Truman put his hand on the Bible, he had an open Bible. He had it to Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountains, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. The second time that he took the office, the oath was in Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of a house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. Dwight D. Eisenhower, in 1953 and 57, opened up the Bible to Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen to be his own inheritance. And then in the second oath in 1953, it was 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Ronald Reagan, in 1981, had his Bible opened up to the same verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. Bill Clinton, in 1993, had the Bible opened to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. And with his left hand on the Bible, he swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. That verse says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What we're trying to say here, in fact, we're saying it, that the Bible has played a predominant place in our history. Again, every president of the United States opens up the Bible, places his hands on it, and swears to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So what about you and your exceptionalism? And what about what authority do you follow? Our nation is 240 years old. There are over 7 billion people in the world, as we mentioned. And you have the honor, the privilege of living in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. So listen. It wasn't by luck. It wasn't by chance. It was by design. You are known and created by Almighty God. And in our last broadcast, we said in Psalm 139, you're awesome and wonderfully made. And God knew you before you were even formed. In Acts chapter 17, it says that God knew the exact place where you would live, and the exact thing that you would do, the purpose that you have. So today, we would like to talk about two books that influence America, two books that tell us why we are an exceptional nation. We'll be right back, so stay tuned.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com. Stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Today, just to remind you, we're talking about American exceptionalism and you. We want to focus on you, your concerns, your life, your destiny. And we had the audacity to say you're no accident, that you were born to live today in the 21st century, wherever you are here in America. We said there are two books that vie for Americans' attention, two books that influence every citizen, two books, and either you follow one or you follow the other. They are mutually exclusive. One is is thousands of years old. The other one is about 150 years old. It happened in 1859. One is the number one bestseller. The other one is read only by a few, maybe the elite and those who are professors at school. One that says that you were especially designed and you have great, great worth. But the other one says you just happened. You're just a speck in a moment of time. You're part of billions and billions of years of evolving until finally you came and soon you'll be leaving, and on it goes, and it's too bad that you weren't born, say, 5 or 10 or 20 billion years from now. You would be a greater human being. One book is outlawed in the schools. The other one happens to dominate every subject in the schools. The one book was written by God, the Holy Bible. The other was written by a man, a mere man, Charles Darwin, who wrote a book, The Descent of Man, saying that we all are evolving. Well, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that the one great book that made America great is the book that we need to get back to. Our educational system was founded on this book. We said, and we continue to say, and we hope that everyone will listen, that every school in America in its first 100 years was founded on this book. Now, how do we know that this book, this Holy Bible, is the truth, is God's Word? Well, let me give you some reasons. I have a 2.5-day seminar that goes over 100 evidences that the Bible is actually, literally, God's speaking to us. So I'll just share a few in our time today. We don't have 100, but here are some that are important. In John chapter 17, it says, if you do what this book says, you will have life and life abundant. If you don't obey it, you'll have sorrow, pain, and misery. And you'll say, well, you're arguing about the Bible being the truth from the Bible itself. You're saying that's an argument in a circle. No, it's not. If you go to talk about gold and you want to know if gold is gold, you don't test silver or bronze or stone, you test gold. And gold will prove that it's gold. The Bible itself is its own proof. Someone said it's like a lion in a cage. You know, let it out and it'll go to work. Well, we hope it'll be a gentle lamb, not a lion. But do what it says and you will discover that the Bible is God's Word. Another view is you only have three choices about who wrote it. Either good men wrote it, or bad men wrote it, or God inspired men who wrote it. Now, it couldn't be good men who wrote it, because they wouldn't be good men, because they said that God inspired them. Bad men would never, ever write a book like the Bible on the golden rule, or to love your enemies, or to be good to those who despitefully use you, or the Ten Commandments. How about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7? Read it, and you'll find out that this is beyond man's ability to create it. It was God who wrote the Bible, who inspired men, who wrote it down. Another great evidence of the fact that the Bible is the Word of God is we just got through celebrating Christmas. Christmas, the first coming of Jesus Christ, is prophesied in the scriptures over 300 times. Think about it. If you read the Old Testament, you will discover that there were 300 prophecies that said that this is Jesus Christ. I have in my hand 9 of those prophecies. Just before I share a couple of them with you, I have in my other hand 10 pennies. If I take the 10 pennies and I throw them out on the table, I discover some come up heads, some come up tails. And if I keep throwing them and throwing them, waiting for all of them to come up heads or tails, I wonder how long it would take. Astronomical. So let me emphasize again, if you don't mind, just for your sake and your exceptionalism, 300 prophecies prophesied the coming of Christmas, the first coming of Jesus Christ. For an example, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the exact place where he would be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. He'd be born of a virgin. This is Isaiah, in Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled in the New Testament, Matthew 1:18, for an example. It was prophesied that Jesus on Palm Sunday would become riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, Zechariah 9:9, and that's fulfilled in the Gospel of John. It was prophesied that Jesus would be betrayed by a friend, a very close friend, Psalm 41 and verse 9, and that happened. It's recorded in Mark and Matthew. It was recorded that he would be despised and rejected of man, that we would hide our faces from him. And that is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. That's what happened. Can you imagine that he said he would be crucified between sinners? And that was prophesied in Isaiah 53 and in Psalm 22. It said that they would pierce his hands and his feet. Psalm 22, fulfilled in the Gospel of John. And it said that he would come back alive, he would conquer death. That was prophesied in the book of Psalms. And it happened. Yes, he rose from the dead, he conquered death, so that you and I would be able to know that we can have life and life eternal. So there are some of the evidences of prophecy that Jesus Christ is truly God, truly who he says he is. Then another great evidence concerning the validity of the Bible is its teachings. Nobody would come up with the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount. The greatest ode on love, what love is all about, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you were to study that chapter and look at the 15 ways that you and I, by God, are able to express love to our loved ones, our families, yes, to everybody you meet, you'll discover that this principle of love makes the whole difference. No book ever has the greatest promises like the Bible, or the greatest words of comfort. Also, it has the greatest words of warning. It warns us that we're going to have eternal life, that after this life, we will go to one or two places, either to hell or to heaven. So many say, oh, how can there be the hell? That's not fair. That's not right. That's not true. Listen, if there was no hell, there would be no justice. When I was a young man and a soldier in Germany almost well over 60 years ago, I visited a place called Dachau. Dachau was the first concentration camp of Adolf Hitler. And by the way, if you study Adolf Hitler, you would discover that he thought that the Aryan race was the super race. He got it out of evolution. Everything that he did and his whole purpose was driven by the evolving of the German race. I also remember in 1955 in Nuremberg, where Hitler had his great youth rallies, I went there and heard, can you believe it, 10 years after Hitler, Billy Graham, America's great preacher, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in the exact spot where Hitler had his ideologies and his horrible things that he accomplished. Another great evidence that the Bible is the truth is all the positive thinking that it gives. If you'd like to have positive thinking, joyful thinking, and get up every morning with being able to go out and to live a life of joy and peace and of prosperity, then listen to the wonderful promises that God has in His holy word. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will watch over you. If you trust and follow me, I will give you life and life abundant. Again, it tells you that when you were born. It says that you were born in sin and there's no hope, none at all. But God loves you so much that He died and He paid for all of your sins. One of the greatest stories in the Bible that would give you joy in your thinking is the story of Lazarus, whom He raised from the dead. We'll be right back and tell you all about it.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about the most important thing in the world. Not to be haughty. Not to be stuck on yourself or narcissistic, but we're talking about you and about your life and why you were born in America, in this exceptional country, and how exceptional you are. We were talking about that exceptionalism clearly is explained to you who you are from the Bible. We were saying there are two books that take over America. One is The Origin of the Species, written by a man, Charles Darwin. The other one, written by Almighty God, inspiring men, the book that made this nation exceptional. And in that book, we were talking about evidences. Here is a fifth one. We were talking about positive thinking. So I'm thinking about a story taken out of the book of John in chapter 11. It's about a man called Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they were very close to Jesus when he was upon the earth. And Lazarus was very sick. In fact, he died. So they sent messages to Jesus and say, come, come, Jesus, hurry. Lazarus is sick. And Jesus took his time. He waited. He waited for over 4 days. And as you read in John chapter 11, I'm going to ask that you do that after this podcast. He came to Bethany, to the town, and there's Mary and Martha. They were angry at him. They were saying, why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? He was sick. Now he's dead. And Jesus said, no, no, no. He's not dead. He's asleep, referring to the body. They couldn't believe that. They were angry at him. But he said, no, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never, never die. They will have eternal life. Do you believe this? He said to Mary and to Martha. What a claim. What a positive thought. And so according to this book, the Holy Bible, that made America exceptional, if you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, who loves you, who died, who paid for your sins, rose again, who now is in heaven making a place for you, you will have assurance in your spirit that you cannot die. You will have absolute confidence that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will have this peace that passes understanding to guide you from this world into eternity, into the arms of your Lord and Savior in heaven. Just a little over a week ago, I had a terrific experience. Bear with me as I share it with you. John and Jan Gillespie founded the Rawhide Boys Ranch back in 1965. They gave their lives over to delinquent boys. They had two boys themselves, and I was a teacher out there to those boys and to the staff and to those in the community from 1968 to over 1980-81. They were remarkable people. And Jan, who gave her life to those boys, they raised and took care of over 351 delinquent boys. And if you're ever around Jan, you would see that she was full of nothing but love and joy and peace, no matter what those boys did to them. Well, Jan passed away just a few days ago. And on Monday, I was up at the funeral. Oh, it was a memorial celebration, second to none. And everyone talking about what a blessing she was. And those who were there, and the pastor preaching the sermon, and John giving his testimony, and their two boys knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that their dear mother, his beautiful wife, was alive in heaven, where you and I can go, as we also trust. At every memorial service, where the person who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, I always have Amazing Grace, that wonderful song sung. And then we have to read at every memorial service, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, take your Bible after this broadcast. Yes, read Psalm 23. Go over Psalm 139 again. And by all means, read this story out of John chapter 11, the whole thing about how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Verse 35 in that passage says that Jesus wept. The reason that Jesus wept was not because Lazarus was dead. He was about to bring him back alive. Jesus wept because they didn't believe. He wept because he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life," hoping and praying that all would come to receive that as the absolute truth. Now, nobody can make up this kind of a story. Nobody can make up Psalm 23 or Psalm 139. So the Bible is unique. It has all these marvelous, wonderful truths and promises. We said there are two books that take over America. The one, Origin of the Species, has been kicked out of the public square, out of the Bible. And the other one is the Holy Bible. One talks about chance. The other talks about providence. So there are two words that are governing your life. Well, only one of them, and you have to choose. One word that governs your life is luck, is happenstance, is chance. But the other one is providence. It means that God knows you, created you, watches over you, guards you, protects you, and brings your life to full fulfillment. Providence. Choose. Are you going to live by a flip of a coin, by luck, by chance, or by design? Because if you do, then the designer who designed and watches over you will give you this incredible protection of his providence. We're talking about how the Bible is truth and has the greatest positive thinking. Last broadcast, we talked about your worldview. I need to emphasize that again. You absolutely live and move on a daily basis by how you see the world. But most people that I talk to, in fact, over 95% of the people I talk to, and some this morning at breakfast, they had no idea what a worldview was. They didn't even care, but they have one. So you have a worldview by which you look at everything through the lens of that worldview. My worldview, the lens that I look through, is the Bible. It answers those six major questions that we have to deal with. So on the second broadcast, when we talked about you and American exceptionalism, we talked about the six major questions that you have to answer that guide your life. I'd like to give them to you again. Be kind of fast, but we do have a terrific seminar on worldview and how you can have one that will give you the positive life that you so desire. Those six questions are your origin, your purpose, your destiny, your identity, who you are really, your theology, that is your belief in whatever gods you have, and then epistemology. Big word, but it deals with how do you know, and how do you know that you know? Well, the Bible tells you that he created you. Starts out in Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created." Let's compare this. It says, "In the beginning, God," that denies atheism with its false doctrine that there is no God. "In the beginning, God," that denies polytheism with its foolish and confusing and false doctrine of many gods. "In the beginning, God created." Now, that denies fatalism with this hideous doctrine of luck and of chance. "In the beginning, God created," that denies evolution with this unscientific and foolish doctrine of the infinite becoming, becoming, and becoming. "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth," that denies pantheism with his confusion of making God, the world, and the universe identical, A rock isn't God. The tree isn't God. The grass isn't God. God created all of that. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now that denies materialism, which asserts that eternity of all matter. So the Bible, at the very beginning, Genesis 1:1, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then as you read Genesis chapter 1 and get into Genesis chapter 2, it says that God created man, and out of man, he created the woman, and out of that comes the human race. And believe it or not, read Acts chapter 17. God did all of that to bring you forth at a certain time in a certain country for a wonderful reason, to protect you with his awesome providence. Who makes this up? Incredible, wonderful truths. And these are truths that will set you free and give you the absolute assurance of your origin, of your purpose, the absolute, unequivocal assurance of your destiny. It will inform you of who you really are and give you a passion of a purpose that will make every day a new day as you get up and say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it, and I will follow him as he guides me through his loving providence all through the day, moment by moment." So another evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. In 1983, Ronald Reagan said that this is the year of the Bible. If you go on the internet and you look that up and you see how Congress voted on it almost unanimously, understanding that, hey, our nation is founded on an exceptional book called the Holy Bible. It wasn't founded on a book just 159 years ago saying there's no really purpose in life except by chance, just to make your way through the best way you know how. Another evidence that the Bible is the Word of God, it explains to us clearly who Jesus Christ is. C.S. Lewis, in the book Mere Christianity, said that there are two choices. You have two alternatives. You can say that his claims were true, or his claims were false. Now, if his claims were false, then he knew his claims were false, and therefore he was misrepresenting himself. He was a liar and a hypocrite. He was demonic, and he also was a fool because he died for it. Or the other alternative about being false, he did not know. He was sincerely deluded, a lunatic. So is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or are his claims the truth? If his claims are true, then he is Lord. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who came to give you guidance, to give you hope, to give you promises to live by, to give you the absolute assurance of eternal life. So C.S. Lewis then said you could either accept him or you can reject him. It's one or the other. So let me read a quote from these two alternatives from Mere Christianity. Quote from C.S. Lewis. "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus Christ. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell himself. Now you must make a choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a mere madman, or something worse. But you cannot shut him up for a fool. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him. You can kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about this man being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us, and he did not intend to. So you can accept or you can reject the impact that Jesus Christ has had on the entire world, on the founding of America and making it exceptional, or you can somehow come up and think that you're greater than God, greater than the Bible, pass judgment on them both, and say it's mere lunacy nonsense. We're going to be right back and explain more about how you are exceptional in this great American country.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
And can you imagine some of the things that we have been saying? Some of the claims? They've got to be the greatest claims you've ever heard. And we're saying that, hey, these claims are true. They come from the one great book that made America exceptional. The one book that you cannot live without. Jesus said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus also said that heaven and earth is passing away, but my words shall live and abide forever. So we're asking for you to really consider the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who created you, who ordained you to live in the exceptional America for the day and the age that we are now living in. The one who watches over you has a wonderful plan for your life. We were talking about the claims that the Bible is the Word of God. And I had mentioned that we have a seminar entitled, The Bible is the Truth, and over 100 evidences that show, yea, prove beyond the shadow of any doubt for those who have an open heart and an open mind that the Bible is the one book that made America exceptional and the one book that will give you the hope of eternal life and guidance here and now. You know, I think another evidence that the Bible is the Word of God and how we need to get back to it. We are living in an age of abortion on demand. We're living in an age that you can go shopping on Sunday. That may sound archaic to some, but God never intended that. We're living in an age of no-fault divorce, of drugs or crime, the pornography that is hurting all of us, the racial tension, the disruption in the schools, the equal opportunity, the immigration issue, and on it goes. Well, yes, our nation has made a lot of bad sins, a lot of bad mistakes. But if we get back to the Bible, and each citizen would begin to read and study it and read it as a family, oh, what a change it would be. It wouldn't solve all the problems, we'd still have them, but it'd make a lot better world for us to live in. So we say that Jesus Christ is the one who has made us, who watches over us. Here is another awesome, almost unexplainable evidence that Jesus is unique. In the Gospel of John, there are seven I ams. He said, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door of the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he said, I am the true vine. There are seven metaphors. If we had time to go over them, it would show you how it applies to your life. For an example, I am the bread of life. So Jesus said, come, come to me and partake of me. Make me the supreme meal in your life, and you will have life abundant. I am the light of the world. We're living in an age of darkness. But as you follow Jesus Christ and his word, he will guide you through all the struggles, the trials, the victories, the triumphs, the defeats, anything and everything that happens in your life. And he's the good shepherd. And the shepherd watches over his sheep. He knows their name. He counts them and protects them. He dies and pays for them. But the whole thing climaxes, can you believe this, in John chapter 8, verse 58, where he says, I am. What is my name? I am. I am eternal. I am everything. So as you and I begin to now come to the close of this broadcast, let's focus once again on you and how important you are, no matter what happens in your life. Maybe you've been defeated or knocked down. Did you watch the Super Bowl? And here they are, the Patriots, way behind in the third quarter. And it's 38-3. Anyway, it was just beyond hope. And the Patriots put it all together. In the last couple of seconds, they were able to tie it. And in overtime, they won it. So you may be down to your last seconds. You may be in despair. But come to Jesus. He'll bring you across the finish line, and you will be victorious. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. One thing I liked about the Super Bowl, not that I watched it all, but when Tom Brady was explained how great he was, he turned around and he said, hey, if it wasn't for James White, we wouldn't have won. And James White, as you know, was one of the persons here at the UW on the football team, so we're all proud of him. But we want to know that God is with you, and you follow him and serve him. You can know that he'll watch over you no matter what. So take time. Open up your Bible. Read it so that you can enjoy life and life abundant. Let me tell you a joke. What did the snail say when he got on top of the turtle? Whee! Well, all of us go, go, go. Day after day, week after week, month after year, there's no slowing down. But I'm going to ask you, stop. Slow down. Pick up your Bible. And put Jesus Christ first in your life. Read his wonderful words of promise and come to know him as Savior. Amen.